All right, so I'm joined here on the line by Gilbert White Duck, the NDP candidate for the riding of Pontiac-Kittigan-Zibi. We've previously done a bit of an interview about his initial candidacy and that kind of thing, but this is part of a series we're doing with all of the candidates for the riding to talk a little bit more about their policy positions and that kind of thing. So, Gilbert, how's it going?
Well, I think the campaign is going fine. It's been a real learning journey for me. But I think the most important thing, I think the most rewarding thing is connecting with people, getting a better understanding about what's going on in various fields of issues that people want to share about. And that I think I will always carry, no matter what happens with the outcome of the election. I'm going to bring that, and as I pursue other things in work that I'm doing in the riding, I will use that. So the campaign is short, never enough time really to go out unless you're a party that has a lot of resources and can mobilize people or pay people or whatever the case may be. The NDP is more limited in resourcing. You do with what you've got. I've got, a good team behind me, but everyone is clearly a volunteer. And for all of us, it's all something new, and we're doing the best we can and bringing forward the importance of electing a member of parliament that will represent the riding and not necessarily speaking a whole lot about the leader as such. We know leadership is important, but more importantly is what kind of member of parliament do you want representing you from the riding, irregardless of who's going to get elected. I've always believed that it's important for Parliament to have a diversity, so those diverse voices can be heard. But to circle back, I would say that was it what I was expecting? A little bit. But again, I've learned how the party functions and what support you don't get sometimes and what support you're going to get, when you're on riding on the fringes. Does the party believe that you have a good chance to win, no chance to win? These are all factors, and I understand that position. I may not agree with some things, but a wonderful, enriching a journey that I think when people step up to the plate to run for an elected office, certainly you get something back from it. You're giving a lot of yourself, but the people give you a lot back also.
And one of the most important or one of the issues that's gotten quite a bit of attention here on the campaign trail so far has been housing. And it's a complicated issue, obviously. There's involving multiple levels of government there, from municipal, provincial, and federal as well. But from a federal perspective, what do you think is the most important thing that we can do to address the housing situation right now?
Well, I think what's going to be important is that the federal government has to make resources available, has to have a plan as to how those resources are going to flow. Quebec, as we know, has a particular approach, and we need to recognize that as to how funding flows at times to Quebec, and in Quebec has a program, the money flows back down to the municipalities. It's important that there be strong agreements with Quebec and open agreements and transparent agreements. I think that's only a fair way. As I was discussing with a warden at one point, it was saying, well, yeah, there's federal funding, but it's not getting the agreements that should be in place with the province aren't there, and it seems to be blocked. Well, it needs to be unblocked because it limits, again, what the municipalities can do in getting housing going. And I know there's been a lot of talk to say, well, we have a lot of trees. We can cut them down, and we're going to create all of it. Yeah, that's partially true, but within all of that, we need to try to find a balance of taking care of our environment also. And, building 100,000 houses or more, first of all, there isn't the workers available to do that, within a year or two. It's going to take years. It's a long-term investment in building houses and then affordable houses that people are going to be able to pay their mortgages. And to be able to do that, you got to create some kind of economic development base. It's not just about building houses. but it's also creating employment opportunities and also, you know, building what's termed sometimes social housing, co-op housing, and, you know, approaching it in multiple ways. And the only way you can do that is to have some real good, solid discussions with the municipalities, find out from them what are the different aspects that can be put in place, and then mobilize into a funding envelope and an approach from the federal government, and not to take too long to make that happen. The problem all the time, it gets bogged down in the bureaucracy. Yeah, there are rules that have to be followed, accountability and whatnot, but to try to make this happen as quickly as possible so we can move forward. But it's got to be affordable housing, whether it be prefab housing to move things forward, whatever it may be and whatnot, and indeed use our force, use our resources, but use them in a good way. And when we're using them in a good way, which I believe is possible, it's going to allow to create employment, to have houses that people can afford these houses. But we must not forget, if one is taking a mortgage on a house, it's 25 years at least that they're going to have to pay. So there better be some kind of employment that an individual can have that's going to last for many, many years. And the other thing, too, we know there's a need of trained, skilled people. Well, let's not wait. Let's work with community colleges and unions and whatnot to get these training programs going as quickly as possible. And they take time. You can't get trained within a month. It's going to take, you know, 6 months, is X number of hours that are required. And then if you're in Quebec through the union, the number of licenses you need to be able to be an apprentice and then a full worker and whatnot. So it starts by having an envelope, a commitment, a plan. You need to have a plan, clearly. But that plan can be just an imposed plan, but rather a plan that's been discussed with the provinces, obviously, and discussed with municipalities. And I worry often, yes, there are the larger, you know, cities in the riding, but the smaller municipalities often feel, I believe, left behind and not heard. And as I've heard in the debates, often, you know, they've been promised many things, promised this is going to happen, this is coming and whatnot, and then the promises just, you know, leave and then don't appear until the next election and more promises are done. And that should not happen. The people in the riding should be seeing at least progress taking place. Often we want progress to move much more quickly than is possible, but at least that progress is happening. So housing is one of those important aspects, because I believe that housing, having a house, having a shelter is a right. Mm. I take it as a right. Mm. And it's a responsibility of government, you know, to support, not to replace, but to support the opportunity for people to be able to acquire a decent house where they can raise their family and feel secure. But again, there are many pieces attached to that. Mm-hmm. Like I said, employment and training and development and a whole bunch of things that need to be considered.
And this isn't your first time in politics in particular. You were quite involved up there in Kitigan-Zibi there as well. And this is also the first time the riding will be actually called Kitigan-Zibi with the name change here that just recently took place. Could you talk a little bit about, as far as the federal government goes, what exactly you would like to see as the next steps in regards to reconciliation?
Oh, my.
It's a big question, I know.
It's really a big question. But when I look at the riding, first of all, we have to define what does reconciliation mean. And as the Truth and Reconciliation spoke about, before we can truly engage in reconciliation, we need to have the truth. We need to know the truth, and a lot of the truth is still unknown. Mm-hmm. But that being said, is, you know, the different governments that have been elected, you know, conservatives and liberals, have spoken in different ways about reconciliation. And reconciliation means, for me, also, that people like myself and other Indigenous people across Canada need to be able to make it what I call to be at the table. We need to be at the federal table. We need to get elected. That's part of reconciliation. Where will we ever get the opportunity? Where will we, me as an Algonquin, Anishinaabe, you know, with a party with limited resources, when will I ever, not only me and those that are going to come before me, ever get the opportunity to represent a riding that, as you well know, is unceded, unsurrendered Algonquin land? And that's why I said, you know, for me, you know, this election and this riding is historical in the sense I'm the first doing it. And again, you know, the citizens will decide if I'm the person, and if not, will I continue? I will continue to fight what I believe are important issues. But reconciliation, I think, is part of that. And reconciliation is also to talk about land, to talk about crown land, to talk about, to be able to, let me just give you one example that I was, yesterday, actually, I was discussing with a couple, and we were talking about Gatineau Park. And I said, you know, it would be very interesting, and I know the NCC are the ones that overlook the Gatineau Park. Wouldn't it be interesting if Gatineau Park, as a minimum, would be co-managed with Kitigan Zibi to make it an even better, beautiful place for all Canadians to use with activities that might be different than what's being done now? Here's an opportunity, a small piece of reconciliation, a small piece. But reconciliation is very much about land, about what's going to happen with Crown land, and how do we access that Crown land that we are told is still ours, that the Section 35 of the Constitution recognizes that, because if we don't have... And you know, reconciliation is making sure that those most in need, that's one thing, most in need are taken care of. Programs and activities in the community, and also those who are living in urban center. Reconciliation means that we can sit down together, Indigenous and non-Indigenous people, and talk about the environment, work on the environment, and make sure that we are always looking seven generations ahead in no matter what we do. That doesn't mean we're not going to have development. That's foolish to think that. There will be development, but whatever development takes place, that it be done in a good way. And you don't stockpile, you know, nuclear waste 1 kilometer or less away from the Ottawa River. That makes no sense. But you'll have to find a place. And that's true. Reconciliation is dialogue, getting to know each other, getting to know the history of Canada, working together to build, to make everything better, to improve things for those, you know, for the future generation. I believe that's possible. It's going to take a lot of work. It's going to take a lot of work. The recognition of the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous People, its full implementation, should take place. The 94 calls to action from the Truth and Reconciliation needs to be fully implemented. Right now, only 15% or so of those recommendations have been implemented. Really, they should be all implemented, because what is good for Indigenous people is good for everyone. Indigenous people have always been welcoming to people and open, but in doing that, we are often trampled on. Let's remember that and say, look, we can do things differently. And I believe in the writing we can, you know, but it's not going to happen within a few years. It's going to happen over time. It's going to happen by successes and dialogue and connections and understanding at multiple levels.
And in one of the principal pillars there in the NDP's last session there in Parliament was the implementation of a dental plan that they worked with the Liberal Party on there as well. When it comes to both dental services, healthcare, and optometry as well to a degree, do you believe that these should be included under a universal healthcare?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And even what was adopted with the NDP bringing it up through their kind of coalition they had with the Liberals, and then that got adopted. The Liberals are taking, you know, credit for all of that. But, you know, by chance on the weekend, I was at the Peabody Market, and I was just walking around. I wasn't canvassing anybody. I was just seeing what was there and whatnot, and I just happened to be walking with a gentleman. And I know other people have said that, and the gentleman said, oh, I saw you on the sign. I saw you're Gilbert. Yeah, I'm Gilbert. And he said, oh, I'm so happy, he said, of the dental plan that was adopted. He said, I went to my dentist, and I had some major work to be done. It was going to cost like $650, and now, you know, I'm going to have to pay maybe $100. And now I was able to get the work done that was necessary. Otherwise, I would not have been able to. And he was just so happy about that. You know, he was just so happy that that was possible, that there was such a program, he and his wife, that there was such a program available. So I believe these programs need to be beefed up, need to be part of these the approach we're going to take in Canada, because it's meeting the needs of people who are struggling or what's been termed middle class, and we can define that in many ways. It's not only financial, but having housing is part of all of that. And people are struggling, and if they have that, you know, because taking care of your teeth and you know, having medicine for diabetes and other kinds of things which are life-saving, you know, are life-saving, needs to be just available to everyone. Mm-hmm. Everyone based on their level of income, of course, that would determine, but it comes to help a heck of a lot of people, and it's been shown to help. It's been shown to help. If it wasn't working, and if people were not turning to it, you know, I would say, well, maybe we need to really relook at it. But now everything I'm hearing is that it is coming to help those most in need, those who otherwise would not have been taking care of their health, again, their diabetes, diabetes medicine, or their teeth. And we know that if you don't take care of your teeth, it affects all of your health everywhere else.
Mr. Whitedeck, I want to thank you for your time. We're just running up a little bit on the edge of our time limit here as well. I know it goes really quickly, and I'm sure we could have kept talking there for quite some time here. But if you have one more message, I guess you could say, or just something you want to let the voters in the Pontiac-Kittigan-Zebre riding know, I'll give you the last word here.
Yeah, I would say I want to thank everyone that I have met, everyone that listened in to the debates. I hope you got to know me a little bit better, who I am, Gilbert W. Whitedeck, an Algonquin Anishinaabe, connected to this land. I'm going nowhere. I've always lived here. I am bringing forward who I am, and I believe in honesty and, you know, perseverance and determination and listening to people and reaching out to the people, and that's all I can bring, is that honesty and that truthfulness. I will always stand up for the truth. I will stand up and say it and affirm it in a good way. And I would never say that I have the answers to many solutions. It is the people who bring forward the solutions. The role of an MP is to be the spokesperson, to bring forward the collective thinking of the people and to try to influence policies and funding and what happens in the House of Commons in a very strong, forceful way that's going to be meaningful and bring about change. Bring about positive change for people living now and for the future generations. And again, the environment for me is very important. But of course, when we take care of the environment, you know, the biodiversity and everything else, when we take care of our sacred waters, we take care of each other. All of those things are connected. So, miigwech, miigwech.
That was Gilbert Whitedeck, the NDP candidate for the riding of Pontiac-Kittigan-Zebre, discussing his campaign as well as some of his party's policy. This is Caleb Nickerson with the Local Journalism Initiative.